Chapter 6. The following afternoon, Tuttle was waiting for Roiland again when he came home from school.
"Man, I wish you'd leave me alone," Roiland snarled.
"Somebody's got to clean out the old man's room so I can rent it to somebody else. The landlord is screaming for a new tenant. You don't make money on an empty apartment," Tuttle said. "I just about finished breaking the cement, and I scratched the soil a bit. But I'm a long way from making a hole big enough to bury a body. I need you to clear the room."
I can't go in there," Roiland stammered.
Tuttle straightened his dirty baseball cap.
"Just clean up the mess. I'll get rid of the little cars, but he left a lot of junk. Papers, clippings, and letters. Just bundle it all in trash bags, and then tidy things up. Shouldn't take you more than an hour."
"I told you," Roiland repeated. "I can't go in there."
"Well, then, would you like to come down to the basement and dig the grave, boy?" Tuttle asked, a mocking smile on his face. "It's either that or tidy up the room."
"Okay,"
Roiland whispered, fighting waves of nausea that swept over him. Roiland went into the apartment he had entered so many times before. Filled with the aroma of vanilla air freshener, the room still smelled as if Mr. Miller had never left. Even though he was old and frail, Mr. Miller always kept his apartment clean. Roiland shuddered as he stepped into the living room. His throat tightened, and he decided to quickly toss everything in a garbage bag and get out fast. The carpet where Roiland and Mr. Miller played with the little cars was now faded and worn. Roiland stared at the geometric patterns and remembered driving the toy cars along the rug's shapes and lines many years ago. Over in the corner were piles of newspapers. Mr. Miller loved to read. Roiland got rid of the newspapers quickly, and then he tackled the closet. Mr. Miller's clothing was gone. He did not have much, just a few shirts, a few pairs of pants. Tuttle probably put the clothes in a dumpster. Roiland remembered it then, the cardigan sweater he had bought for Mr. Miller the Christmas Roiland was 11. Roiland saved money from his odd jobs and went to the thrift store and got Mr. Miller a nice cardigan sweater with a red and white pattern on it. How touched Mr. Miller had been by the gift. How proud Roiland felt to give it to him, even though it was only a used sweater from the thrift store. It was the one gift Roiland gave that meant more to his old friend than anything else. Roiland felt his chest tighten. At the bottom of the closet were old shoe boxes, where Mr. Miller kept odds and ends. He called the boxes his treasure chest. He would often take out a treasure, such as a yo-yo or stopwatch, for them to enjoy. And around Christmas, he would always give Roiland something from his boxes. Sometimes, that was the only gift Roiland got. Roiland was tempted to toss the boxes into the plastic garbage bags, but something stopped him. His hands trembled as he opened one of the boxes and found a bundle of greeting cards tied with rubber bands. When he took off the bands, the cards fell into his lap. All bore children's handwriting. "To my friend, Mr. Miller. Your friend, Roiland," most of the cards read. Some even had pictures drawn on them. Looking at them, Roiland felt as if something had driven a stake through his heart. Mr. Miller had saved all those stupid cards Roiland had given him. He saved them like they were important. They meant that much to him. The room turned black around Roiland, and he thought he would pass out. Suddenly, he was mumbling to himself, "I'm sorry, Mr. Miller. I didn't mean to make you die. I didn't mean to." Roiland remembered hearing once that good people go to heaven after they die, and then they can hear what people say on earth. Mr. Miller was a good man. He never hurt anybody. He delivered mail for 40 years, and he was married almost that long, until his wife died. He had a daughter, but she moved across the country and mostly ignored him. Mr. Miller was the closest thing Roiland ever had to a loving father. He was the one man who kept Roiland from being totally alone during the violent and frightening years of his childhood. So Roiland hoped that Mr. Miller was somewhere good now, and that he could hear Roiland's anguished voice. "I'm sorry, Mr. Miller. I'm sorry. Please hear me. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to make you die." Roiland grabbed the bundle of cards and stuffed it in a garbage bag, but then he stopped and drew it out again. Destroying everything Mr. Miller left would be like killing him all over again. Roiland shook as he put the cards in a separate bag, one he would not put out in the trash. Roiland put the contents of Mr. Miller's other treasure boxes in that separate bag, too. He saved all the little things that Mr. Miller valued, the cheap cufflinks, baseball cards, stupid little gifts Roiland had given him over the years. Then Roiland vacuumed the worn rug and did a quick wipe-up in the kitchen and bathroom. He rushed out and disposed of the trash, but he took the mementos upstairs to his room. He stuffed the bag in the back of his closet. As he did that, he heard a strange sound from the basement, like a metal shovel hitting the dirt. "I've been listening to that most of the day," he heard his mother complain. "Tuttle is digging down there. What on earth could that man be doing?" "Maybe he's fixing our pipe so we can have hot water," Amberlynn said. Roiland cringed. Tuttle was digging Mr. Miller's grave. That is what he was doing. Suddenly, Roiland felt he had to get out of the apartment. He did not have to work tonight, but he had to get away from the haunting sound. He stuffed the box containing the necklace in his jacket pocket. "Gotta see a man about a job," Roiland said before he took off. If he was lucky, he could get together with Corey. He had to be with her tonight. Seeing her would be the only thing that could make him feel better. He could not wait anymore for some romantic dinner in a restaurant. He needed to see her. Roiland stopped at the payphone and dialed her number. He was relieved when she answered. "Corey," he said. "It's Roiland. Listen, I gotta see you tonight. I just gotta." "You mean right now?" Corey asked. "I'm feeling really low and I need you right now, okay?" Roiland said desperately. "Oh man, Roiland, I'm swamped with homework and I got a horrible history paper about a stupid Civil War general. Mom expects me to stay home and do schoolwork. She's not home right now, but when she gets in, she'll check on me like a jail warden." "Please, Corey, I got something for you. You won't be sorry," Roiland begged. "Well, okay," she replied. "If you pick me up and we just spend a little time together, I guess it's okay." "I'll be right over." He hung up the phone and ran to the Honda, his mind filled with the fantasies of how Corey would react when she saw the necklace. In all his excitement, Roiland almost forgot about the thud of Tuttle's shovel digging in the ground somewhere in the distance. Corey came running when Roiland honked his horn. She was wearing faded jeans and a beat-up black sweatshirt. But even though the clothes were old, she still looked fantastic. "Hi, Roiland," she said, getting in. "How come you're feeling so low? What's the matter?"
"Nothing the matter now that you're with me," Roiland said. "I'll drive over to Nico's pizza place, and we can park there."
"I'm not hungry, Roiland. I already ate dinner and I'm stuffed," Corey said. "You said you had something for me."
"We'll just park, and yeah, I have something for you." Roiland swerved into the far end of the nearby parking lot. He flipped on the light inside of the car and fumbled inside his jacket for the box. Slowly, he brought it out.
"What's that?"
Corey asked, her eyes growing huge.
"What do you think it is?" Roiland asked.
I don't know." "Oh, Roiland, you didn't, did you? Oh, my goodness. Let me see.
Corey trembled with anticipation. Roiland held the gift box in the air, beyond her reach. Corey grabbed for it, laughing. Finally, her hand closed around it. She yanked off the lid, letting it fall to the floor of the car. Quickly, her hands were inside the box, eagerly pulling away the delicate cotton padding that covered its contents. When she saw the necklace, she screamed. The howl of delight filled the inside of the car.
"Oh, Roiland! Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you! I never dreamed I'd ever really have this! Oh, thank you!"
Corey threw her arms around Roiland's neck and kissed him all over his face. Then she returned her attention to the necklace, putting it on and twisting to see herself in the rearview mirror.
"Oh, I feel like a princess!"
Roiland grinned happily. "You like it? It's the best gift you ever got, huh?"
"Oh, Roiland, I've never in my whole life got such a gift. Oh, I love you so much. You're the greatest guy in the whole world,
Corey raved. Hugging the necklace to herself, she kissed Roland again, and for several minutes, Roland felt more happiness than he had ever imagined. But then, Corey looked at her watch and said, Oh, no. My mom will be home any minute. If she finds me gone, she'll kill me. It's okay. I'll drive you home right away, Roland said.
We can be together this weekend. Oh, Roland, I love you, Corey cried.
Love you too, Corey. Roland leaned over and kissed her as he drove. Once more, before she left the car, Corey kissed Roland, but when he clung to her, she pulled away.
Mom's going to be home. If she catches me not doing my homework, I'm dead. Roland, I'm already falling behind in two subjects, and Mom says if I don't shape up, I'm grounded forever.
Corey ran for her front door, stopping once to blow Roland a goodnight kiss before she disappeared inside. And then, Roland was alone again in his car. She was gone. He was swept by a terrible emptiness. Everything he had lived for during the past few days had disappeared. The excitement of buying Corey the necklace, the thrill of giving it to her, the fantasies about what she would do and say. They were all over now. Corey had her necklace. She thanked Roy Lynn, but still, he was all alone in the early evening darkness.